The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who has sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets. And they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I recently read of a preacher who preached the same sermon over and over for months at a time. And if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you might relate to that in terms of our gospel readings. We have just heard again Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. It seems that he's been saying that a lot lately. And if that thought came to your mind, my response is, well done, good and faithful servant, you have been paying attention. From mid-July to mid-August, in year B of our church calendar, we have 5 readings from the 6th chapter of John, all of which in some way bring together Jesus and bread. The preacher that I mentioned, who preached the same sermon over and over, explained his actions by saying that as long as nothing changes out there, meaning out there in the world, then nothing is going to change in here. Maybe Jesus felt the same way, or at least John or the developers of our lectionary. But we Episcopalians can relate to Jesus being the bread of life. We experience Jesus' presence in our lives as bread each time we come to the table at the Eucharist. We know that we experience spiritual wholeness only by this bread of life that is Jesus. We come to the table in whatever physical, emotional, or spiritual state we are in, and we are fed with the very body and blood of Christ. We are fed as we take Christ's body into our own bodies, and then we take our bodies, now filled with the presence of Christ, into the world. Or do we only take our bodies filled with the presence of Christ back to our pews? Along with our continued reading from the Gospel of John is the continuation of the story of David from 2 Samuel and continued reading from the letter to the Ephesians, which continue to look like how not to versus how to. Last week, David was confronted by his sin by the prophet Nathan, speaking on behalf of God. And he recognized the error of his ways. God forgave him, and he is still remembered as the greatest king in the history of Israel. But he was told that there would be problems in his household forever. And today, we hear of that being played out. The child who was conceived through David's arrogance has died, and now another son, Absalom, has died. Infighting and vying for position are going on all over the place. Things are not good, as David had been warned. God forgives, but the effects of sin are still present. I've said more than one time, and now I might be sounding like the preacher who preaches the same sermon over and over and over again, that the pride is the mother of all sins. Pride, which is a synonym for arrogance. Every sin imaginable can be traced back to that evil root, which was first spotted when the two original ancestors decided to disobey God and take matters into their own prideful hands. As we see, it didn't skip a beat with David, or anyone else for that matter. David, in his pride, in his self-reliant arrogance, decides to do what he wants to do, to take matters into his own hands so he can get what he wants. He realizes his error, repents, but not without effect. The effects of sin linger, and left unchecked will continue to spread. We know about this, don't we? We know what happens when we take the body of Christ into our own bodies and return to our pews, not taking Christ into the world. And I'm speaking of the worldwide we here, not just us. But I'm not excusing us either. Look at our world. It is a mess, a huge economic and social mess. This is no accident. It is no fluke. It can be traced directly to the sin of pride, whose co-anchor is not only arrogance, but also greed. We can point fingers. We can blame executives of Enron or Wall Street. We can even name names like Bernie Madoff. But if we continue to refuse to acknowledge our own sin in this mess, this sin will continue to spread. Now is the time for us to take up the calling to which we have been called. Now is the time for us to stop loving only self and begin to start actually loving our neighbors. Loving our neighbors means not only putting a Band-Aid on their hurts, but also making the hard changes in the world that cause the hurt. Loving our neighbors means changing our terminology so that we no longer say things like I just said, causing them to hurt, and truly understand that if they hurt, we hurt. Because God does not see his creation as them and us. God sees his all equally. How can I be more created in God's image than you? Or you than me? Or us than them? God created us all. God loves us all. God forgives us all. And it's time that we take that out into our world. The gospel was not meant to stay within closed doors. The letter to the Ephesians gives us a hint at the how-to. It reads, "Putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing, rather let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We can take a snippet here and a snippet there from this reading and go off on all sorts of wrong directions. We can say, it says I should speak the truth to my neighbors, and there's some things I've been dying to tell them. It says I have the right to be angry. It says that everyone should work. Yes, it does say those things, and out of context, you can use words from Scripture to justify most any wrongful action. In context, what this letter tells us is that we are members one of another. Did you notice that the thief should work in order to share with the poor? If the thief should do that, how much more should we do? We are members one of another. What we do and say, we should always do and say out of that understanding. Be kind to one another, forgive one another, think and act toward each other like you matter to each other's existence. Remember that word, Ubuntu? The theme of General Convention, I am because you are. I only exist in relationship with you. You being the entirety of the world. And we all only exist because of God. Have you noticed that there are millions of self-help books circulating in our world today? You know why they haven't made a difference in our lives and in our world? Because they are self-help books. And we cannot help ourselves. Our help comes from the Lord, our Maker. Our help comes from the bread of life. Our collect reminds us of this. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we, who cannot exist without you, may by you be enabled to live according to your will. May we, by the grace of God, think and do those things that are right. May we take Christ into our world and be imitators of God and live in love. And may we heed the words of St. Augustine, who said, pray as though everything depends on God, and act as though everything depends on you. Finally, may we truly love our neighbors as ourselves, no matter what. Amen.